Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's going on? See, Rant, I'm Jeff. It's Friday, January 10th. And hey, I'm happy to be here. As you can see, this is going to be a quick one today. I don't have season-long fantasy football to talk about here. Of course, over at ftnfantasy.com, I did do a complete betting breakdown. So if you are somebody who's betting inclined or you want to dabble a little bit this weekend, go for it, man. ftnfantasy.com, I give you a whole bunch of betting nuggets across the board, including things like each team's record against the spread, how they fare over under. I give you game picks. I'm going to give you those on this podcast as well. But also three of my best bets for each game. So you add that up, that's 18 different bets that I like. I do like more than 18, but I gave you my best for the slate. So go check it out. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. You have to be a betting subscriber to get access to that. But again, we're going to be more fantasy focused today. Before I dive into each of the games and just going to really rip through them quickly, I should note that we had already heard there was a setback for Deshaun Watson and that 2025 was up in the air. Well, we now know what that setback is. He ruptured his Achilles again, according to Ian Rappaport. I don't even know how that's possible, but he's not playing in 2025. I'll tell you that flat out right now. That recovery is a very bad one. Like Kirk Cousins, you could definitely tell in the beginning of the season he was moving very gingerly. He kind of got his way a little bit as we moved into later September, early October, but obviously, it was a lost season for him. Rodgers, I think, was another one. He kind of got more mobile as he went along, but older quarterbacks, they're not going to be that mobile anyway. As far as Watson is concerned, I mean, you're talking, it's January already. He's going to be up against it to even get on the field at any point in 2025. So we would expect the Browns to go in a very different direction. And they do have the second overall pick where they could take a quarterback. So that should be in play there for them. All right, so let's get into the games. And again, this is more like a fantasy slash DFS approach to these games. Now, DFS is a little bit interesting this week, being that we have all these different slates. I am playing in a league where we're playing four slates this week. It's actually a cumulative league. We hand calculate the cumulative scores, but we play this on FanDuel, and we're playing the full slate. We're playing the Saturday slate. We're playing the Sunday slate. And we're playing the showdown on Monday. So four different this week. There will be three next week, three the following week, and then obviously we'll have Super Bowl as one. So overall, that gets us to 11 different individual competitions, so you could win 11 different ways and you could win cumulatively as well. But the main slate technically this week is Sunday, so the three games on Sunday. I don't know, it's a little bit all over the place. Of course, our optimizer is rocking and rolling over at ftnfantasy.com. So Chargers Houston, right now, I give you the latest betting odds, and obviously one game the betting odds changed fairly dramatically the last game because it being moved. This one is a 2.5 point spread. It's been around 2.5 to 3 points really since open, 42.5 over under. And I think the spread is very telling. It's a road game here for the Chargers, but I do think they walk in and they win this game. It's a few different things, but I think first and foremost, it's the Chargers defense. They're coming in allowing an NFL low 17.7 points per game this season. That's a huge improvement over last season where they were the number 24 scoring defense. So that's a huge change year over year. And obviously a huge part of that has simply put been the presence of Jim Harbaugh. He comes in and he changes organizations. He turns them around. We saw him do it 49ers. He went into the postseason there, actually made it to the NFC title game in his first year with the 49ers back in 2011. Can he do it again here? I mean, it's going to be a tall task in this division, but I don't think they're going to have that much of a problem against Houston. Now, looking at the injury report quickly here, I think people really have to be careful with assumptions with injuries. Somebody had asked me, hey, on your radio show, you talked about J.K. Dobbins. Well, do you think he's going to play? And it's like, we have not heard anything that suggests he's not going to play. Like, yes, he was limited in practice this week. It's being called an ankle issue. He is, quote, questionable to play, but there's no indication that this is a game time decision. Now, of course, things could change between now and tomorrow, and it's always wise to keep an eye on this, but I do have confidence in him playing here, and I do have confidence in them feeding him the rock. As of right now, the only player that we know is not going to play is Josh Palmer. Everybody else looks like they're going to be good to go for this one. So keep that in mind. I expect a healthy dose of him, a little bit of Ladd McConkey, a little Quentin Johnston, who also is questionable but should be good to go in this game. To the other side, I would just be really careful about Joe Mixon this week. Down the stretch, Joe Mixon was not the same player he was out of the gate. Over his first 10 games this season, 88.7 rushing yards per game, 11 rushing touchdowns. In his final four games this season, 32.3 rushing yards per game, no rushing touchdowns. So be very careful there. Stroud is going to be up against it. I mean, this season, teams with a winning record, Houston was 1-5. Last year, they were 6-3. So big difference here. Ultimately, yeah, I am going, as I mentioned before, with the Chargers in this one. All right, moving over to Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I am taking Baltimore here. Yes, there are, you know, you could dig through the crates and find some stats that are favorable for Pittsburgh. One thing I think is really interesting is Pittsburgh does blitz the crap out of Lamar. On the season, you know, they were blitzing in the range of about 29% of the time. Against Lamar this season in the two games, they went after him on over 48% of his dropbacks. So they're going to blitz him a lot, and that causes Lamar to do different things. Now, I will say this. Mark Andrews is a very strong play because when Lamar gets blitzed, there's, you know, his top two targets are Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews, and we already know Zay Flowers is not playing in this one. On those blitzes, Lamar hit Andrews. You know, he targeted him 31 times. He hit him 5 times for touchdowns. So I like Andrews a lot here. You know, which George Pickens are you going to get? Are you going to get the George Pickens who shows up and balls out, or are you going to get the George Pickens who disappears? Like, obviously, we know we're going to have, you know, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, even in a tough matchup here for Lamar. Like, he did throw 3 passing scores in their second game against the Steelers, and they went home and home. So the home team won both games, and obviously here the Ravens are the home team. Let's move on to the next game here, Denver and Buffalo. Honestly, it's great to see Denver back in the postseason, but this is a tough matchup. They're heavy underdogs here. And, you know, we have seen an underdog rookie quarterback win in a couple instances. Mark Sanchez was the biggest underdog to win as a rookie. He did it in 2009. He won as a 9-point underdog against the Chargers. Actually won twice on the road that year. Flacco won twice on the road as a rookie in 2008. And then Russell Wilson did so once in 2012. So there at least is precedent for a chance for Bo Nix, but it's hard to see Buffalo, who was undefeated in the regular season at home, lose in the wild card round. They've also been very good in the wild card round in recent seasons. Like, yes, they did bow out at home. Like, their last two playoff losses came at home. But in the wild card rounds, they have been excellent in the last 4 seasons, 4 straight wins in the wild card round for them. So, you know, I think this is a lot of Josh Allen. I actually think this is a lot of James Cook for the Sunday slate. Denver is going to be tough, you know, against Allen, but the beauty to Allen is, you know, he's got that escapability where, you know, the pass rush is going to be coming at him, sure, but he could then hit you with a well-timed scramble. He's just so good in that area. I don't think I'm going to go too overboard on the passing game for the Bills, but one really interesting nugget, and this is like partially a betting thing, but it also could be a DFS contrarian thing. In the history of the NFL, the all-time leaders in first quarter touchdowns in the postseason, there are 2 of them. They're both Buffalo Bills. One of them is Thurman Thomas. Obviously, he will not be suiting up in this game. The other one is Dawson Knox. He has 6 first quarter touchdowns in the postseason in his career. Terrell Davis and Jerry Rice are next on the list with 5 each. So that's kind of crazy right there. I don't know if there's much to it, but I think it's kind of a sneaky, you know, get some exposure to him in DFS. Also really like Marvin Mims. He's been on fire down the stretch. You know, obviously 100-yard games in 2 of his last 5. He scored a bunch of touchdowns over the span. He is a very interesting player. All right, Green, and by the way, Buffalo is winning that for me. Green Bay, Philly, I do have Philly winning this one. Now, there are some moving pieces on the injury front here, but nothing to be concerned with. Jalen Hurts cleared concussion protocol. A.J. Brown, who went DNP on Thursday, told reporters that he is going to play here, so I'm not worried about him. And then Devontae Smith, who actually didn't practice today, is expected to play as well. So they should be at full strength. Obviously, they're going to go through those guys. Dallas Goedert is back, and Saquon Barkley is all world. We did see this matchup before. Of course, they faced each other back in week 1. That was the Brazil contest, and Philly had their way in that one. They were 2.5-point favorites. Philly won 34-29. It was a very competitive game, very entertaining game. Of course, people remember the field, the turf was not particularly good. That won't be an issue here in this one in Philly. But regardless, you know, you did at least have Green Bay last year as underdogs in the wild card round facing another NFC East team, the Dallas Cowboys. They absolutely steamrolled them. They won that game 48-32. I don't expect a similar outcome here. If I'm going to use anybody from the Packers, I'm going to close my eyes and point at one of the 3 receivers and hope I guess right. I mean, Jaden Reed did go off in that game, so maybe he's the one to place your chips on. Obviously, he's going to be the most expensive for DFS. And by the way, at the very end of this podcast, I'll briefly run through some quick thoughts on one and dones. Okay, so Philly winning that one. All right, moving on to Washington and Tampa, the projected highest scoring game on the slate. This one could go either way. I do have Tampa winning because Baker Mayfield has just been so stinking impressive this season. He has Mike Evans to throw the ball to. He, of course, has Jalen McMillan surging down the stretch. McMillan has 7 touchdowns over his last 5 games. He's been excellent. It really all clicked for him. Not to mention the fact you have Bucky Irving doing his thing, and they should have Cade Otton back for this as well. This is not a knock on Washington. In fact, this could be a complete barn burner. We could see Jaden Daniels put up, you know, 300-plus total yards between passing and rushing. We could see him score a touchdown as a runner or two and certainly toss a few, but I think that really, this is one of those, you know, whoever lands the last punch is going to win. And I do ultimately think it's going to be Tampa in this one based on just really everything that they've done over the course of the season. They did beat Washington back in week 1 as 4-point favorites. They won that game 37-20. Mayfield threw 4 touchdowns in that game, 289. And that was kind of before we realized who Jaden Daniels really was. But even then, he still had a pretty nice game. I expect just points galore. This is the game, obviously, a lot of us are going to be game stacking. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think we just have to pick and choose our spots here, pick and choose our battles for the main slate. But, you know, a lot of people are going to try and get in on this one. You know, maybe a sneaky player for DFS purposes is Austin Eckler. He's going to be back in this game after a stint on IR following the concussion. I think that his involvement, if Washington does play from behind, will be rather heavy. You know, he'll be heavily involved. Obviously, Zach Ertz is rolling down the stretch as well, so he's in an intriguing play, potentially for DFS purposes. All right, so let's move on to the final game. Of course, this game was moved, Minnesota and the Rams, so it is now in Arizona, and that did impact the line. It moved from Minnesota. I saw Minnesota widely giving 1 point to now they're widely giving 2.5 points. I don't think it ultimately matters for me. I'm going to pick the Rams regardless. You know, they're still playing in a dome. No major issues there. I expect them to try to control the game with Kyren Williams, as they often do. Obviously, a healthy dose of Puka Nacua and company. Hopefully, Cooper Kupp gets off the schneid a little bit here. But, you know, Stafford has been so good down the stretch. I think that's really the difference maker. And it's not a knock on Sam Darnold whatsoever. But 11 passing touchdowns, 1 interception over his last 7 games played. He's been very clean. And I think that's what they need here. This is also, let's not forget, a matchup that features the teacher and the disciple, master and apprentice in Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell. And A lot of times when we get these types of matchups, I tend to, and maybe this is just a bias of mine, lean towards the master, not the apprentice. Not to knock what Minnesota has done at all this season. And again, Sam Darnold's season has been fantastic. We could get a little bit of a shootout here. We could see, you know, some big time production from the passing game in particular from Minnesota, where Jefferson, maybe Addison, even Hockenson, you know, puts up a big stat line. The one player that I am a little bit wary over is Aaron Jones. So much like Joe Mixon, we have older running backs here who did fade down the stretch, right? We'd seen a very productive year. In fact, statistically the most productive year of Aaron Jones' career, because he finally wasn't in a situation where they were, you know, essentially committing him in a backfield, but he slowed down the stretch, you know, and that's not a surprise with an older running back at this position where you're racking up a ton of touches. He hasn't topped 100 scrimmage yards since their win over Chicago, and that, you know, that's, we're now three games removed from that. You know, he hasn't scored a touchdown since then either. So I'd be really careful with Aaron Jones. Otherwise, kind of loading up on this game if at all possible. All right, so let's talk one and done briefly here. One and done is different than the only, you can only use one, like the FFPC format. Somebody was calling that one and done in the Discord earlier today. That's not. We have a strategy article up for that format. So the idea is you're only allowed to pick one player from each team, right? And then you fill out a lineup that way. And as the players move along, you accumulate their points. Tyler Lochner wrote up a strategy article for that. One and done is when you can only use a player once and then you're done with them. So if you use Josh Allen this week, you can't use him going forward. Now, the ideal strategy, at least in part, is to use a player who's in a game that, you know, you think they're going to lose. So for example, if I think Justin Jefferson is going to lose, then I'm going to use Justin Jefferson. But I also think, you know, you can't win leagues that way. You need to load up on high scoring games. And what I like to do is search out for games that I think neither team is going to make it to the Super Bowl during wild card round, that is. So in this instance here, I don't think either the Commanders or Buccaneers make it to the Super Bowl. I'm game stacking the crap out of that one. I'm going to use Jaden Daniels in one and done, almost certainly. But, you know, I will have Mike Evans. I will have, you know, very likely we'll have Bucky Irving. You know, like, I'm going to game stack that one. I'm actually interested in game stacking the Minnesota Vikings and Rams. I don't think either of those teams make to the Super Bowl. And then the last game on the list that would be game stackable for me would be the Chargers and Texans. So I'm largely fading the Baltimore Ravens Steelers game. I just don't think there's enough juice there with Pickens, so I'm not going to use him. I'm not using anybody from Denver. Same thing, not enough juice with Cortland Sutton. And then I'm not using anyone from Green Bay either. So I'm going to save Ravens, Bills, Eagles, just outright save them. And yeah, on both sides of the Chargers, Texans, like, I have no issue with using Nico Collins. I'm going to, you know, very likely have, you know, J.K. Dobbins or Ladd McConkey in there, depending on how things work out. As far as, you know, Washington and Tampa, I said I'm loading up there. I'm using Justin Jefferson this week. I'm using Puka Nacua this week, right? I'm going to do as much as I can. Now, fortunately, I'm in a format that is it's a one quarterback format, but you have three wideouts and then two flexes. Now, sometimes it's, you know, it's just three wideouts and a flex. So I can use a few more players here. But obviously the detriment to that is you lose a few more players as well. But that's what I'm looking for in terms of strategy. You know, I'm game stacking teams in the wild card round who I don't think are going to make it to the Super Bowl. And then I'm going to fade any team that I really legitimately think has a chance of making it there. And this year, there's five teams for me that I think have the legitimate chance of making it: Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, Detroit, and Philly. So three of them play this week. I'm not using anybody from them. And the way that it works out with their opponents, not using anybody from their opponents either. So it's, you know, really whittles the field down. And then it becomes a lot easier to make choices, because then, honestly, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm using my rankings and projections and really just starting the guys who are projected to score the most points. That's it. All right. So that wraps it up for today. I will be back on Monday this week. So I know I didn't do this Monday this past week here, but upcoming on Monday, I'm going to come back. We'll recap everything that we saw. Obviously, we'll still have one more playoff game, but we'll recap everything that we saw in the five other playoff games. And actually, another thing I'm going to do on Monday as well is talk about the two college games. Obviously, we have Penn State and Notre Dame done, Notre Dame advancing. We're still awaiting Ohio State and Texas, so I'll talk about those as well. Because, hey, it's that time of year where we're going to start talking more NFL draft. We've got to look at some of these draft prospects in this game. All right, enjoy your weekend. Best of luck to you in your contest. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and, of course, FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.